Hello and welcome to The Court Jester, the podcast that brings to light the naughtiest side of the Middle Ages. I am Cleo Pethenu, medievalist and storyteller, and I know that I'm 1 week late. To make up for this delay and to make up for depriving you of your weekly dose of medieval madness, I have a very special story for you today. It is called The Stupid Knight. Obviously, it involves a knight who is, as you can probably tell by the title, not very smart, but for the first time after a while, I do have to issue a content warning. There is obscenity in this episode, there is questionable choices of sexuality, and there are some things that are very embarrassing indeed, so be warned. For those of you who can consume this content in context, let's go find out exactly why this knight was so stupid. Our story takes place in the Ardennes, a specific place of France, and the author makes a point to tell us this is where it was that everything happened. And in this region of France, covered with old thick forests, lived a very wealthy knight, who, as was fitting for his station, was living off the land. He had an orchard with high quality trees, he had really big fields and such a wonderful landscape around his castle that it was a delight to be there at this time of year in spring, where you could see all the birds flying and chirping and all the fish filling the rivers. The region was so rich, so full of fish and food and game that he was never hungry. So, in short, a very lucky man. And if he had also been a tiny bit smart, he would have been the honour of mankind. But, unfortunately, no one has everything. And this one was anything but smart. He had one specific thing. Every time someone told him something, in order to remember what was happening, he would have to repeat it to himself again and again and again and again. So you would often see him going around in his castle and in his estate, repeating the same thing 100 times whenever the folly was upon him. Naturally, although he was not way too young, he had never been with a woman. Although he was a fully functioning man, he never really found himself a girlfriend or a lover or anything of that sort. However, his lineage was old and he was very rich, and that kind of man never stays without a wife for too long, so eventually his friends found for him a wife. They got married with much joy and much celebration, and then he left her virgin for a year. As you can imagine, the damsel was in distress. She tried everything, but he never rose to the occasion, and although many times he held her tight in the night and they were both naked in bed and she could feel him growing harder against her flanks and on her thighs, that were very beautiful if you don't mind me say so, but nothing else was happening, as if he was too stupid to figure out exactly what to do. And as days passed and as months passed, she ran out of ideas and she went to her mother seeking advice and told her mother of her plight and told her what he has been doing, and her mother, who has met more men and had considerably more life experience, was very quick to figure it out, that the man was so stupid that he needed to be told what to do. So the next day, she found her son-in-law, took him by the hand, and led him into her rooms, very expensive rooms, with paneling, with draperies, with a very rich bed, and she sat on the bed, spread her legs wide, and let him see her Lady Jane. "So if you don't mind, good sir," she said, "do you see something in this cove between my legs?"
"I do," said the knight. "I see two holes."
"The top one, sir, how is it made?" "I'd say," said the knight, it's rather longer." "Yes, I'd call it longer rather than short or wide." "That's good, that's good. And what about the bottom one, sir?"
"Well, the bottom one's shorter."
"Very good," said the mother. "Now, what you should remember is that you don't put your dick into the shorter one, because this is not what this one is made for. But the long one,
You can put your prick there as much as you want, and then you ought to bang away. And then when you reach your passion's height, you need to tighten your cheeks, your butt cheeks, with all your might. Oh, I see, said the knight. Do you want me to stick the longer one now with my prick? No, no, you don't have to do that. This is mine, and it is not for you. However, I can tell you now that my daughter has a similar pair, but much better, because it's newer, and it's much better made, and you will enjoy that one a bit better. So, remember, fuck the long skinny one tonight, without fear, or without any further reservation. I will do that, said the knight. I will poke it with my sausage. But what would I do with the other two things underneath? Those two, you beat them against the short hole. So, remember, fuck the long, beat the short. I see, said the knight. She drops down her petticoats and leaves, and the knight opens the door and goes away, and falls back into his old habit, and starts repeating to himself. Fuck the long one, beat the short. Fuck the long one, beat the short. That night, an awful storm came. The wind was howling, the trees were blown to the ground, buildings were brought down. At that time, it happened that 7 knights were crossing the woods within our knight's territory. So, taken by the storm, they were desperate for somewhere to stay. They looked around and saw our knight's castle, and they made their way through there. They sent one of them to cross the bridge and go to the gate. And he was accepted, he was admitted in the castle. And he asked if there would be any way for him and his comrades to have shelter for the night. It just so happened that the question was asked as the knight was passing by. And so the traveller talked to him directly, and he said, "My good lord, is it possible that we have shelter?" And the knight replied to him, "Yes, of course you can, just bring your comrades in." And then turned around and went back in, repeating his old phrase, "I'll fuck the long, beat the short. Fuck the long, beat the short." Now the traveller was very grateful for the fact that he was given somewhere to stay for the night and shelter from the storm, but he wasn't particularly excited about the rest of it. So he went back to his friends and said, "I have good news and bad news. The lord of the castle will accept us and he will give us shelter, but I think he's a very pervert man, because I heard him say that he'll fuck the long and beat the short. And I understand this to mean that he'll probably try and fuck the tallest of us and beat the head in of the shortest one. And I'm looking at us now and trying to figure out who is the tallest and who is the shortest." The tallest among them stepped forward and he said, "My lords, I know I am the tallest. I have no intention to stay in the house of a sodomite that is going to do such a thing to me. But I also don't like this storm at all." The shortest one stepped forward and said, "You will know as well for me, like, although I am the shortest, I don't enjoy getting beaten, and I'm not a coward for wanting to avoid that, I think. I still don't like the idea of this storm, but I'm prepared to stay out here while the rest of you go in for shelter." "Oh, that's true for me as well," said the tall one. "We two can stay, and the rest of them can go enjoy the hospitality." "This is out of the question," said the rest of them. "We're either in this together or not at all. You will all come with us, but we need a plan. So what we're going to do is, you, tall guy, will crouch and make yourself as short as you can. And you, short guy, you're going to pull yourself up and we're going to put you to sit on a high stool. And then no one will know who is the shorter and who is the tallest one. And you will both be safe. It's only a night anyway." That sounded like a good idea. So they went ahead. And indeed, the tallest one was crouching, the shorter one was tiptoeing to appear taller, and they sat in a table, and they were given food and drink and wine, and they had bacon with peas and entire birds, and then meat on skewers, and then more meat, and excellent pasties on the side, and they had so much wine, almost a whole keg they had. And there was a smaller one that they had with them that they were ready to open, but they were too tired and decided to retire. Their beds had been made already, and so they went and very swiftly fell asleep, while the lady and her sire withdrew to their own bedroom. And they had barely reached the door when the stupid knight turned around and told his wife, "I promise you, this is going to be the battle of your life. I'll beat the short one, fuck the long one, and I'll keep it up all night." Through the door, the tall knight heard these words as he was falling asleep, and suddenly all sleep had left him. And he stood there in the middle of the night, lying on his perfectly made bed, shivering, assuming he will be violated. And next to him, his short friend, who also heard it, is shivering just as widely because he thinks his host is going to come back and beat the living hell out of him. Meanwhile, the host has no such worry because he went into the bed and lied beside his wife and undressed her and spread her legs open and took a candle to see better between them. And he didn't see that she had two holes, a long one and a short one. And he was so happy with what he saw. "How perfectly shaped these are, so much better than your mother's," he said, and then attacked the long one with the fierceness of a man who has never done it before. He didn't rest. He didn't stop. I do not have enough time to tell you how many times he did it. But the first three times went in a row. He gave it everything he's got. And at the end of the third time, his lady begged him, "Husband, you are ruining me. I need a drink. We've been at it for so long, non-stop. I'm basically dry. I will die if you don't give me something to drink. I think those visitors left a cask somewhere outside. Would you mind going and getting me a cup? Because I promise you, I cannot keep this up, and I am genuinely suffering." The knight, who was not very smart, was seriously afraid that his wife was dying, so as he was, stark naked, went to find the wine. So he walked into the cellar where his guests were sleeping. He stirred the fire because he didn't have a candle, and the fire was the only light in the room. And he looks around to find that little barrel. And he saw, among the bodies sleeping on the floor, the body of a tall knight, who was just crouched to make himself as small as possible. And in the dark, the stupid knight thought that this outline must be the barrel that he's looking for. As he was poking the fire with a metal rod, he took this and thought, "I'll use this to open the cask." And with the rod in one hand and a cup in the other, he went towards our tall knight, rammed the rod into his body, and filled the cup with his blood. The poor knight jumped with horror. "Get up!" he shouted to his friends. "Get out of here! That pervert host of us attacked my rear!" While everyone around him heard the noise, they all jumped up and were very ready to take a stand. And the stupid knight swung out again with his hand where he was holding the red hot poker and sent it hurling down the hall, and it struck the short knight, who was just standing up, full in the side of his head, cutting a large chunk from his hair, which flew across the room and struck the wall. They ran away faster than you can blink, and they would have come back for vengeance if it hadn't been for his wife's mother again, who followed them and found them in the forest as they were trying to find what just happened to them, and she gave them all a full account of what has been happening in this household for the last few days. She interceded and got them all to realize that if a man's fool, there's no point trying to get vengeance, and you have no way to avoid mischance. So that story ends with a tall knight who had a bright red ass from the hot poker that was shoved inside, and a short knight who was scarred permanently in the face from the same hot poker that went flying through the room. And both of them have blooded up the yard. But above all, the stupid knight had learned to screw. And that's the end of my story. This fable is through. This was the story of the stupid knight. A saucy one, saucier than the ones we've been recently hearing. If you liked what you heard and want more of this, please subscribe to The Court Jester and tell at least one more person in your life about the podcast. As usual, my sources and references are in the show notes, and so are links to the podcast's social media and the Patreon page. On that note, the
Patreon special for this month will be released later this week. And it's going to be much in the same vein as the recent ones. The court jester is the labor of love of a medievalist and storyteller, myself, and although it's not always on time, it is always made with passion and with much joy. If you do decide to support the podcast, just know that you're giving me a sense of achievement that I don't get from anything else in my life. Thank you for listening. Until next time.